sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yo. I used to paint this flow on ancient scrolls and learn to make this dough where gangsters roam. Oops, sorry. When the bank is closed, excuse me, I'm fucking up this lyric. I'm gonna try this one more time. I'm sorry, I just woke up. My wife left me. Kids are fucking it up. My job, about to lose my job. So forgive me if I fuck up these lines, all right? So let's do this again. I used to paint this flow on ancient scrolls and learn to make this dough where gangsters roll. Think like the late great Capone when the bank is closed. It's cats that claim they bull, but ain't this cold. God damn, a god wrote these lyrics. I'm from New York City, even pretty chicks act up. Niggas get clacked up. You stack up, you stick that up. Put the strap up. You think my name was Kip back up. Okay, I'm gonna do that line up better, better favorite. Okay, better service schools. Put the strap up. You think my name was Kid back up. Big niggas spitting noise. Pick that up or lift that up. Raised by gangsters and gamblers, hustlers and con artists, and convicts, killers and don, drug dealers, players and pimp, smooth talkers, stick up kids, thugs, real niggas and gods. Haunted by every soul that lay dead in the turf. Cursed by every spirit that never made it to birth.
Message.
And.
Bullfire.
And. A god ghost wrote these lyrics. No, a god wrote these lyrics. All right? You can talk about Jesus and shit like that, but no. A god came down, wrote these lyrics for my sins. And with that said, welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. B. Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. I know what you're thinking. B, do you have enough AKAs? There could never be enough AKAs. You look, I'm going easy. I used to be worse with it. Before I start the show, I need to inform you new listeners and remind you, your returning ones, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 7th, the day after D-Day, at 8:06 p.m. It's kind of late. 8:06 p.m. What is it, a Wednesday?
And the smoke smells like campfire out here in the 613 campfire. Yes. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. One of the segments in my, one of the things I'm going to cover in news and random thoughts. Yeah, I'm just going to, whatever. I'm trying to sell this episode. All right, first I got to start off by saying, no, I am not losing my job. No, I am not going for a divorce, got fucked up kids and shit like that. I just made a mistake because I didn't prepare, all right? It's my fault. But sometimes it's just easier to blame my mistakes on anything but myself. But I'm not going to do that just right now, all right? I just didn't want you to, you know, think for, if you didn't know me and you're like, oh my God, oh shit, oh fuck. Like this is the introduction portion. If you were a woman, let's say you're not a woman, but if you're a guy, right, and you're a woman, pretend like you're a woman, this is me trying to seduce you. okay, I know, sorry. Didn't want to mess with your sensitivities, your sexual, whatever. All right, so, but yeah, this is the introduction. I set the pace. All right, instead of going off the top of my head, I'm just going to read exactly what you're going to see in the show notes. So first item on the list in the introduction section is this will be the last episode about feeling cursed. All right, okay. yeah, so this is the second episode where the theme has been like the theme has been on the idea of the notion of feeling cursed. And yeah, okay. I'll just break it to you, man. I had an amazing. I'll go over details in final thoughts. But let's just say I had a great therapy session where I got myself to the point of being able to accept and realize that. All right, I don't have any reasons to feel cursed. I just feel cursed. And that feeling is more like it's not to be fucked with. It's not to take for granted, but I'll elaborate in final thoughts. What else did I put? Okay, second item I have on the rundown sheet. What stresses me out about podcasting? Oh, yeah, I just had this crazy random thought. I just realized, and this is why this podcast is a service for me, right? I just realized part of what freaks me out about podcasting is when I'm speaking to another actual human being, I subconsciously read that person. Not for manipulation, but I'm like, I'm trying to gauge that person and figure out what their lines are, what not to cross, whether they're interested, whether they're bored, whether they're whatever. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes, maybe most of the time, I suck at it. I suck. If people who know me will be like, hey, dude, I'm actually listening while your arm crossed. You know, but I just realized that when I'm podcasting, I have no way of gauging who I'm speaking to, and it's causing me a certain anxiety. All this to say it's a muscle that I'm building. Anyway, it was just one of those, I just had an aha moment. I felt the need to share with y'all. So that's what stresses me out about podcasts. And probably that's the reason why I keep telling myself, yeah, this podcast sucks. That's really what my mind is saying is don't put us through that experience again. Yeah. All right. What's the other line I have? Last one is you can. Oh, right. Okay. So this is a quote that popped up in my Twitter timeline. Shout out to my man, Talal Macy, for sharing this one. And it's a Ray Lewis quote. And it goes, you can either make the play or watch the play be made. Why does that mean something to me? I don't know. I mean, I do, but, you know, it's I'll ramble on, and I really want to get into the next portion of the podcast. But here's hoping that quote, you felt it the same way I felt it, all right? So that's cool. All right. Let's go. All right, so let's go through. Oh, before I continue, you know what my biggest pet peeves are? It's funny. Sorry. I just realized that intro, that long introduction that I did, not the intro song, but the long introduction that I did puts me in podcasting mood. I was in a bad mood. I just finished watching. I wasn't in a bad mood. I just finished watching Law and Order, eating, because I was hungry. And, you know, this is a midweek episode. That means I just finished work. I just had a long day at work, and I show up to do this podcast for y'all. I mean, for myself. And doing that intro, it's as if it's like a trance. It makes me forget the past day. But I really wanted to bring up the fact that, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to talk about how one of my pet peeves is when I'm listening to a podcast and someone is eating. It's just me, all right? Fuck it. Call me an asshole, whatever. I know some of you. And it just drives me nuts. People who eat while they're speaking on the podcast. I mean, I just be discreet about it. But don't be like, anyways, maybe it's the highly sensitivity in me, in my ears or whatever. But it's just, where am I going with all this? My point is another reason why I'm recording so late is because I chose to eat before eating. Like I was hungry. I was hungry and I ate and then gorged myself with some sushi, with some chopsticks that I finally bought for myself. Why am I giving you all these details? You don't need to know all these details. No, you don't. You don't. Yeah, no. I think I'm just patting myself on the back for starting this episode without without eating, but then you know what? Okay, I'm making a mental note for future episodes, right? Go with the flow, man. Because I just realized I did the intro to put myself in podcast mode, and by me talking about eating while podcasting, it just brought back the mood I felt before I did the intro. So I'm kind of ruining it for myself. But that's how you learn. Mistakes made, and you learn from it, all right? So let's just jump to news and random thoughts, and which follows up with final thoughts, all right? So you ready? You ready? All right, let's do this. Let's go. Damn. Man, you can't tell, but while I speak to you, I kind of budget the time, and I kind of went over on my intro, but that's not your problem. All right. First item on News and Random Thought. Okay, this is really random, but I just felt the need to a headline about how long story short, I was high and I was watching the trailer. No, was it the trailer? For Guardian of the Galaxy. Okay. I may or may not have been watching it. No, I'm kidding. an illegally acquired version of it. But what counts is I didn't watch all of it. I just watched the beginning. Anyways, I was high and I got curious about the cast I can't forget what triggered it, but I found myself looking up the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy. And I was surprised to find out that Vin Diesel plays the voice of Gru. Now, so that's what happens to me when I'm high. You know, I get curious. My brain goes all over the place. I got to Google shit. Yeah, man. If you go for my Google searches, please don't. But if you were to go for it, you would track that. Like, most of my Google searches happen when I'm high. I'm like, oh, whatever. Anyway, doesn't matter. But my point is, the reason I bring this up is because if you know the character Groot, is it Gru or Groot? Did I say that wrong? Right? All right. Groot, sorry. Groot. Groot. The whole character, all he says is, I am Groot. And I got curious. I'm like, wait, he's doing the voice? How much are they paying this motherfucker to do this shit? And God bless the internet. God bless the information age. And apparently he's getting a whopping $54.5 million for it. Don't have to believe me. The links in the article. Hold on. What is this? Cobio. I'm choosing to trust this site, all right? Fake news. Okay. And now, which means a slick $13 billion every movie Groot has been featured in? Okay, whatever. Okay, but my point is this, right? My first thought was I'm making a joke about how fucking Vin Diesel is getting all this fucking money for doing a short line. He ain't doing shit in the movie. But that's not the point. But then it hit me. Again, I'm high. I tend to think about a lot of shit. Whatever, right? But then my thought went into further, and I said, you know what? If there's ever a lesson about knowing your worth, that would be a good example of it. Now, I don't know if Vin Diesel knocked on their door and said, hey, you motherfuckers want me to be Groot. Or whether the director said, we want you to be Groot. And I don't know how he negotiated that salary, but I know he didn't say, yeah, I'll do it for $5. Fuck that. He said, motherfucker, I'm Vin Diesel. And the other thing, too, is there's something about Vin Diesel's voice. It's not just what he's saying. It's how he's saying. It's convincing. Like, I don't know this character, Groot. Like, I'm not into the comic book. But when I hear I am Groot, there's something, even though it's a short line, he doesn't do it a lot. Well, maybe he's got a bigger line in the movie. I don't know. But my point is, the whole point to all this is, for me, I'm taking this as a lesson of know your worth. You know what I mean? There are people out there who got less than you and have figured out how to get paid more than you. I'm just saying, and I'm including myself in there. I'm just saying, know your worth. That's really, okay, you know what? It's fucked up. I'm lecturing you about know your worth when the real truth is I wish I had a mirror because I should be talking to myself about knowing your worth. Like, I'm telling you about know your worth, but I still struggle with that shit. So I say know your, this is one of those, this ain't one of those things that I practice. So this is one of the few times where I'm preaching shit that I don't practice. I'm just saying, damn, it'd be nice to get it like Vin Diesel. I don't mean to be a star like him. I mean to know your worth like he does. He knows that, hey, if I fart on this record, on this movie, you motherfuckers better sign this check. Better pay me. It kind of, oh man, I don't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give props to, I hate doing this, because I'm not really, I mean, I like Lil Wayne, I don't like Lil Wayne, but there was this one time he was talking about how he was biting, he was with the homies, whatever, and some dude came up to him with a camcorder, because back then we didn't have phones on our telephone, I mean cameras on our telephone, so came up with a camcorder and said, yo, brother, I'll battle you on camera, you know what I mean? And I guess he was hoping that Lil Wayne would be like, you know, oh shit. He'd be like Marlo. My name is my name. And Lil Wayne responds with, how much are we supposed to make for this shit? At first I was like, man, it ain't about the money. Fuck that, man. That dude punked you. And I'm like, nah, I get it. Lil Wayne was like, how much am I supposed to make for this shit? It's kind of like being a boxer. I mean, you know, don't give away what you can sell. If I battle, I'm creating jobs. I got to be in a situation where I'm creating, where people are being employed for my skill set. You know what I mean? I guess I'm saying, okay, know your worth. Know your worth. That's it. All right. Okay, let's go. Know your worth, B-Black. Know your worth. All right, what next? Okay, all right, nerd moment. Bowling ball, feather, and gravity, right. Okay, see, I seen this clip. I'm not going to play it, but I'm just leaving it in the notes for your entertainment, boys and girls. And long story short, it's just, I don't know, if you've taken a physics class and you've been told about how gravity pulls everything at the exact same speed or the same acceleration, was it 9-point-something meter square root? But the point is, if you have a bowling ball, according to this theory, if you have a bowling ball and a feather and you drop them, gravity pulls them down at the exact same speed, all right? And this clip I just shared with you for your nerd interest, because I was fascinated by it, and it was they reproduced the experiment, and they drop the bowling ball and the feather in a airproof room. I mean, there's no, in an airless room, whatever you call it, a vacuum, and they prove the theory. I guess I was just fascinated looking at this thing as the feather and the bowling ball drop. I mean, and my mind couldn't let go of the fact that, no, it's going to float. Like, couldn't let go of the fact that there was no air in there. But anyways, yeah, it's just, like I said, man, sometimes I just post shit just to talk about it. I was just fascinated by it, right? And I owe $5 to my physics teacher. All right, okay, what else do I got? this is me sharing creative content. All right, okay, now for more serious shit, all right? Yeah, that clip is from TikTok. Now, I just, the last three clips are all TikTok clips, right? And I kind of want to call this, you know, shout out to content creators on TikTok, man. And this next clip that I will share is another example of why I love content creators on TikTok, all right? You ready? Okay, here we go. I'm just going to play it and then enjoy.
Bro, he's completely right. If you go back and you look at the origins of American racism, you'll see that it has never served the interest.
Okay, let me pause. I'll replay it. But he's responding to a clip. He's responding to a comment that says, this observation is clear evidence that white supremacy has deeper, more sinister motivation and makes no sense. Eat the rich. Hashtag eat the rich. All right, so here we go. Same time, if you hear some the microphone doing noise like this, it's because I'm taking off my sweater. All right? Calm down, ladies. Calm down, ladies. All right? Again, I know my worth. You want to see this bare chest? You better pay. All right, so here we go.
Bro, he's completely right. If you go back and you look at the origins of American racism, you'll see that it has never served the interest of white people. Like, it's paradoxical that in order for the Southern social structure of planter, poor white, slave to even exist, it required an indifference of poor white people to the suffering of black people under the institution of slavery, while that same institution deliberately excluded them from the economic and political process. Let me make it clear that being born a white man in the South didn't mean you would accomplish shit. You had to own property if you wanted to vote in order to hold office. And how are you ever going to acquire property if no one was ever going to pay you? Because why would I pay you when I got slaves? Slaves that ultimately it's your indifference that allows me to have. Hell, it wasn't until the Civil War that every state affirmed that just being born a basic white man meant that you had the right to vote. And I suppose they had to whenever they got ready to send the mass of poor whites off to war. It's like, hey, bro, go fight this war. And when you get back, I'll let you vote for me. Yep. Like, it's a myth that the South couldn't build factories. Bro, the South had the access to capital. They could have built factories and rivaled the North in manufacturing industry. But there's a problem with that. One is that the indifference of white people is built on the propaganda and the belief that God made black people to be inferior to white people. But that kind of goes out the window the moment you have a factory that's being operated wholly by slaves doing skilled trade work. So if I'm a planter and I'm considering building a factory, and I understand that I can't operate my factory with slaves due to the constraints of the racist ideology that I've employed across the South, that means that I've got to employ white people, which brings me to my second problem.
If I'm going to be hiring white people, I'm going to have to pay them. And if I pay them, that means that they might have the ability to acquire property. Property being the minimum threshold for voting, you might start voting in a way that I don't want you to. I'm also going to have to educate you to a degree in order to have competent people to run the factory. At a bare minimum, I have to address the illiteracy in the South. Yep.
So you mean I got to pay you and I got to teach you how to read? You're going to be able to vote and you're going to be educated? At that point, you pose a very real threat to me as the ruling class and this delicate social and political balance that I've created that benefits only me. In the interest of maintaining control on this delicate system that they had built, they decided against educating the masses, they decided against building factories and creating upwards economic mobility for the poor whites. Are you drawing any parallels between what happened in the early 1800s, mid-1800s, and what has happened today with the demise of manufacturing, the degradation of education, the elimination of voting rights? Are you starting to see a pattern? I say all of that to bring it back to his point. He's right. Racism has always existed as a functional tool for classism. It has always served to keep the ruling class protected from us ever meaningfully organizing and challenging them on anything. It has always existed to keep us economically and politically destitute. It has always existed to keep you exactly where you are.
Whoa! Whoa! Hold on a second. Oh my God, man. Yeah, man. And I'm going to give it a little, and he deserves a
message.
Yep. Yep. Oh my God. Okay, one more. One last thing. With a bullet. Okay. I have a dream. Literally, I do have a dream. I have a dream, like Martin Luther King, right? That one day, all white people will finally realize that racism is just not a problem for the blacks. It's a problem for us, too. If there's one thing we should have learned from the Holocaust, we could have learned from the Holocaust, those of us who ain't Jewish. Like, if you were German, okay, I can't speak to the experience of, okay, if you are in ever a situation where a group of people are being bullied, You're playing your fucking self if you don't think that one day that, hey, if they do that to him, the mindset should be if they could do that to him or her, they could do it to us. They ran. People, I guess, racism is a fascinating trick they played on white people. Because essentially they convinced a group of poor whites and said, hey, you don't need to be rich. This money shit is, no, man. You don't need all this money. Fuck that. You don't need all this pussy. You don't need all this land. Because you know what you got? You got superiority. I'm sorry for yelling. You got superiority over these niggas. And they bought that shit. My point is this, man. It's, like, I'm listening to this clip. Oh, sorry. Okay. Shout out to the content creator's name is Dustin. God damn it. It's probably no Francais, too. Dustin Schreiner? If I was reading it in French, I'd say Schreiner. Schreini. But it's spelled S-C-H-R-E. Reiner. Okay, Schreiner. Yeah. S-C-H-R-E. R-E-I-N-E-R. The word Ren is in there. Anyway, like in English, like in French, sorry, Queen. But oh my God, focus B, okay. I live in Canada. I grew up with white people. And I'm talking about the kind of white people, because not all white people are the same, right? But I grew up with fucking hopelessly, and I'm talking to be hopelessly oblivious white people. I mean, whoa, why you gotta make it about race? That emphasis I put at the beginning of my podcast is to scare them away. They'll be like, oh man, man, be black is racist. Oh my God. You know what I mean? It's to freak them fucking out. It's like, I'm traumatized by their ignorance. And hearing this white dude speak about racism in such a fucking literate manner blows my mind. It's to the point I'm like, bro, are you acting? I feel like writing, bro, are you bullshitting me? Are you acting? Hold on, let me see the rest of this content. Let me just say, I'm just fluffing you. Hillbilly from Arkansas that reads too much. It's political over here. Oh my God. Okay, you know what? Follow. Wait, hold on. Let me listen to the rest of his content. Okay, bye-bye. All right, so, yeah, I just...
Bro, he's completely right.
If I'm you sorry. Anyway, it was just refreshing to hear a white person articulate shit that I thought only black people could understand. A white person who's not in the matrix or who pulled themselves, who crawled out the matrix. You know what's interesting? So I'm back on TikTok. I'm on TikTok and I have my messengers freaking out on me. And it's because I think I hurt some white fragility. Just a sec. I'm just confirming. Oh, shit. No, he did. Holy shit. All right. So there's a white dude who posted some shit about... I guess it's one of those false equivalency. Basically says, was saying some shit against socialism, but he was making a point about how you do someone a favor once, they're grateful, then they expect it, and then after they're entitled to it, whatever, and he goes, and that's what social... Basically, he made it sound like socialism is for free love. Basically, he says some shit that started being right and then associated that right shit with socialism, and I'm like... Man, that's some bullshit, but whatever, man. But I don't have the vocabulary to explain myself. But then he just made me realize, I'm like, damn, what you described is white people's relationship, the white people's relationship with racism. All right, okay. He summarized here. I'll just read it out. He goes, because I'm not gonna
hypothetical question. Would you rather be...
Whoops, not that one. Okay, sorry, I'm going to save that one for the next episode. But the one, what you just heard, okay, but what I'm reading.
The first time you give somebody something for free,
yeah.
You're...
Okay, yeah, because I'm not trying to give... Okay, so this dude summarized, he goes, appreciation, expectation, entitlement, dependency. The first time you give someone something for free. The first time, it's appreciation. The second time, it's anticipation. Third time, expectation. Fourth time, entitlement. Fifth time, dependency. And sixth time is resentment. And homie is like, that's what's wrong with socialism. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Fuck out of here with that I did it by myself shit, man. Anyways. Anyways, yeah. So then I'm like, I was thinking, I was having reflection. I'm saying, yo, that shit sounds more like a summary of why white people will never, never can't let go of racism. And then slavery. Wait, was that I put this? That puts racism in there? Oh, same thing could be said about slavery. Yes, okay. Can't let go. I mean, not just racism, the benefits of racism. Because the thing about racism is, first time, I don't know, like, this is probably the first time a white person discovers the benefit of racism, it's appreciative. They appreciate it. Second time, and they anticipate it. Then they expect it. Then they feel entitled to the benefits of racism. And then they depend on it. And then they resent. The same way they resented Kaepernick for speaking up. All the brother did was take a fucking knee. And I just drove him nuts. I said, whoa, you trying to disturb this racism? Of course, they're not going to flat out say that shit. They're going to say like, oh, you're disrespecting the flag. You know, they'll make up a whole bunch of bullshit to hide the fact that, hey, we kind of like this racism shit. Because someone in the past convinced us that it's good for us. Anyway, all right, okay, all right. I should share that clip, but no, I'm not. Because I ain't trying to give this content creator. I only give props. If I share content, who knows? Maybe I'll change that policy someday. But for now, if I'm sharing TikTok content on this podcast, it's because it's meant to give props. Now who knows? Maybe sometimes there'll be some shit I'll post that I just express my disagreement with. Oh, like that asshole. Oh, man. I really don't like Dr. Umar Johnson, but that's another conversation. All right. Okay. What else do I have? Okay. Oh, my God. Okay. What time is it? Okay. Well, okay. Another clip that I found on TikTok, and I just labeled it as third rock from the sun analogy, and this sister breaks it down. Breaks it down. Like, this goes on the list of why I love shout out to, this is those on the list of shout out to the content creators on TikTok. Well, that know the time. Exactly. That know what time it is. All right. So here we go.
In the 90s, there was a really popular sitcom called Third Rock from the Sun that followed four aliens who had crash landed on Earth, and now they're trapped and they're just trying to blend in into humanity. Three of those aliens feel that they are so incredibly superior to humans that they never bother to actually study and learn and understand human behavior. They just figure we'll just mimic humans and no one will be the wiser, right? And that reminds me so much of white conservative GOP Republicans today.
Hey, bro.
And when they sit and they listen to Black and Indigenous and other people talk about the ills of white supremacy, the histories of it, the logic, the impacts, the harms, they're not really bothering to listen and learn,
nope.
Right? They're not absorbing anything. But then they'll turn around and take the language of it and try to just string it together. They'll try to debunk using that same language. They'll even accuse you of it. They'll say, oh, reverse racism.
Yep.
Right? And you say, you're just taking it. You're not learning about it. So you're using it completely incorrectly. There's a scene in Third Rock from the Sun where all the aliens are upstairs and they hear the doorbell. It's the pizza that they ordered. They go down to get the pizza. One of them. She goes downstairs to get the pizza. When she brings it back, she's holding the pizza box vertically. She sets the pizza on the table in front of everybody. She opens it. Clearly, it's ruined. And she says, oh, they messed it up again. And a studio audience laughs because she doesn't know that she's the one who messed it up. And the reason she doesn't know that, she never took the time to wonder why exactly we hold it horizontally in the first place. Mm. She just grabbed the box, right? Her hubris would not let her learn. And now we have Republicans who are throwing around things like gender-affirming care. We have Republicans talking about critical race theory and using the word woke, and they're weaponizing it to scare people away from a movement that actually benefits everybody.
Speak.
But they don't bother to learn. And the worst part of all is when our work is in their hands, they ruin it for everybody.
Yep.
Message.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yep. I remember every time you identify as pro-black and you spend a lot of energy just trying to explain that. Nah, I'm not saying I'm anti-white. It's like being feminist and you're spending and they got you wasting your energy trying to explain that. No, I'm not anti-man, but anyway, whatever, whatever. Anyway, look, I'm not going to add. I can't add to what the sisters just shared with us. I should. Content creator's name is Anykig. Oh, sorry, her government name, or the name she's got pointed, listed out, is Erica Nicole. Erica, ça c'est facile à lire là. Erica, what's the name? Yeah, Erica Nicole. All right, and her username is Anykig. Oh, I get it. Okay, because the way she combined the two. All right, okay. Anyway, whatever, man. Yeah, so check her out. Do ass content, man. Again, shout out to content creators on. Oh, okay. All right. On the TikTok. Now, last but not least, and this finally ties to my final thought. But again, I'm going to share a clip by what's his name again? Damn, hold on. His name is damn. I'm just gonna play it and then. But he's I frequently play his shit on this podcast. All right, church guy, ex church guy, whatever. But he's gonna speak to. Just speaks on to. He's gonna speak about church ratchetness. File this other church ratchetness. It's a segment where I take the time to talk shit about the church. All right. So here we go. Here we go. Okay, I'm gonna pause. Okay, his name is Donnell Wrights. Okay, and you can't see. It starts with a bunch of people praising, cry. Basically, having an altar call. If you haven't been to a church, you don't know what an altar call is. Just Google it. All right. Okay. So a bunch of people just having an altar call, and the word "Stitch Incoming" is in front of us. All right. So. Heed the word of the brother. Here we go. Sorry, it's kind of loud.
When I was in the church, I worked almost exclusively with youth. And when I deconstructed and transitioned out of spaces where I no longer aligned, the youth were always the reason why I stayed longer than I probably should have. And it's because I knew what I was leaving them to. As a child of the church, the black church in particular, I've been at those altar calls and I've shed those tears. And now when I look back at those moments, I realize they weren't always genuine moments of connection to the divine that led me to the altar. It was typically because I spent about an hour beforehand getting told that I was bad, that my thoughts were bad, that my desires were bad, that my natural inclinations were bad, how far I fell short of being worthy of God's love, that my very lived existence, thinking, speaking, being, somehow broke the heart of God. And that all the good I thought I offered to the world meant nothing without Jesus. When you internalize that and there's a moment offered for you to rectify that at the altar, of course you're going to go up. And those tears often come from a place of self-loathing and desperation. That's when the adults come and they're laying hands on you and they're saying prayers in your ears. And you're scared. And the other kids that you came to church with are crying all around you, which makes you more emotional. Need I go on? And we wondered why the same kids would raise their hands for salvation every week. It's because they were never given a chance to feel sure in their spirituality. We were so often shamed into coming to the altar. As I grew in leadership at church, I would get annoyed at kids who didn't take those moments seriously. But now I feel like I understand the kids who saw right through those manufactured emotional moments and were just biding time until their parents came and got them. I think it's past time for us to have more public and honest conversations about the harm churches do to the spiritual and emotional well-being of children. Which brings me to this tweet. It's always we need to heal our inner child and never children are an oppressed class and their liberation is important. Why do all of our inner children need healing? I wonder if it's because children are oppressed. When someone is oppressed, it just means that they're subject to harsh and authoritarian treatment, and they're prevented from having the same opportunities, freedoms, and benefits as others. It's important to know that ideologies and belief systems can absolutely be oppressive. And I think if we're being honest, we would hold space for how this applies to so many kids who grow up in the church. Feel free to leave your thoughts in the comments, and as always, like and follow for more content.
Right. Word up. This is me clapping, right? I could go in so many directions. I was just thinking about how when I had an altar call, my first altar call, first time I actually took it seriously, was at, you know, it's a long story, but long story. It was at a church. It was at the Mega Fest. And I remember walking towards the front, and what fucking fucked up my vibe, it was like, oh, wait a minute. Bishop Jake is telling you to have an altar call, and I come to the front, and there's fucking motherfucker has the S1W in front of him, has security guards mean mugging me and shit. It just fucked up the vibe, man. It fucked up the vibe. I guess whatever. It doesn't matter. But that was the my attempt at an altar call. But what I love about his message, and it's gonna segue to my final thought is. I've been having conversations with my therapist about therapy. I'm doing it again, aren't I? with my therapist about that feeling of being cursed. And she challenged me to find reasons why that would justify why you felt cursed. And again, like I mentioned at the beginning, I realized that I didn't have the reason. I just felt it. It was like a strong, powerful presence in my mind, in my soul. And I mean, we could go over the list why I felt that way. You know, being black didn't help. Fat, being sensitive. You know, there's all kinds of reasons, but one thing I can say definitely didn't help. Fucking church. Now, I remember going to church and reading all that shit. Blessed and highly favored, like God's got my back and all that shit. But deep down at the core, there was this part inside of me that I'm saying, be your full of shit. Like, I was singing all these praises, but deep down inside, I knew I was bullshitting. It didn't matter how much I was surrounded by people who would, it didn't matter if I was at an altar. It wouldn't have mattered if Bishop Jakes would have laid his hands on me and said, nope. Well, who knows? Yeah, you're the anointed one. But that feeling of being cursed, could not let go of it, man. I could not let go. Like, maybe in the moment I would have felt good, but it would have brought me back. It's like, nigga, who you think you are, man? I can tell you this. If you and I have had a great relationship at some point, a sincere relationship, and I managed to fuck it up, I guarantee, like, 9 times out of 10, it was definitely that feeling that was like, you don't deserve a good friendship. You don't deserve love. You don't deserve good shit. No, I gonna fuck that shit up. And I say this because I don't think I'm alone. I don't think, I want to be clear. This ain't a poor me shit, this or whatever, or this is me looking at the source code and noticing this virus. And I won't shut the fuck up. It's on repeat going, you're cursed. You're cursed. You ain't shit. You don't deserve nothing. Fuck that air, man. Fuck, man. Stop breathing. If I could make that heart stop, I would do it. You don't deserve to be. Don't even look at your, whatever thing you're grateful for, fuck it, man. I'll give you 10 more reasons why you should be pissed. It's just an overwhelming thought. And with that said, let me segue to final thoughts. All right. So here we go. Word, man. Okay. I woke up to speak about this shit. This shit is about to be a sermon. Now, at the beginning of this podcast, I said that this is going to be the last time I touch on the theme of being cursed. And I'm bullshitting, but where I was going with, like, I'm bullshitting. This is like me being Jay-Z saying, I'm retiring. Man, nigga, I'm coming back, man. I got child support payments to make. So I'm, if I can benefit from this, if people start writing in about, oh my God, that thing about curse, being feeling cursed, I want to talk about it. But where I'm going with this is, so last therapy session, man. My therapist has these moments where, yo, I came in to work. She came in, like, I'm talking about Jordan, game 6. Got a broke clock, roll lead, I don't tick-tock, and whatever, man. And I don't know, man. She was taken by the Holy Spirit, whatever the fuck. And so last session, we got to a point where I realized, okay, all right, I'm bullshitting you. I don't have actual reasons. I mean, yeah, sure. Sure, I might. It's hard for me. Black is beautiful or Black Lives Matter because I know it's not true. But that's not what makes me feel cursed. I know that I got blessings. I know I'm all that shit. But we just got to a point where it wasn't a rational. It was just a feeling. On the last episode, I remember I tried to read some affirmation to overcome that feeling. And I remember feeling good about it. And the next night, going to bed and waking up going, you fuck it out. It's like that demon. I'm going to pretend like there's a demon inside me saying, yo, fuck it, asshole. What the fuck I tell you, man? It's like an abusive partner. An abusive partner saying, what the fuck? You can't do shit around without me. Like, watch a Tina Turner documentary or movie. Watch something about watch a documentary about domestic abuse. Movie, find the one movie that represents domestic abuse accurately, right? And that's what that demon is, man. Like an abuser, man. And it's like, where the fuck you going without me? Where you going looking all sexy and shit like that? You know you fat. Bitches ain't trying to fuck you. Whatever. Anyways, I had a moment where I realized it was a bully. It was significant. And then one thing I refused to do is, because I used to do it before, but one thing I refused to do is, well, one, not acknowledge it, but also use that some bullshit ass, was like toxic positivity to deal with this demon. Because I used to be that guy. If we were friends on Facebook, I used to be that guy who would post shit about your blessing and shit to make you feel good. And now I wouldn't blame you if you thought that I was preaching to you, but the truth is I was more like trying to like heal my own self. But I'm also realizing that I was bullshitting, man. I was bullshitting about it. So I realized that I just had a moment where I realized, okay, that the bully is there. And after the last session, like I said, yeah, therapist, she came into work. And I'll summarize my last session. It went like this, okay? This is pretty much my therapist. Hold on, I'm gonna fast forward this clip, okay? Because you might recognize it, okay? It's a gladiator clip, Maximum refuses to fight, okay? If you haven't seen The Gladiator, what the fuck are you doing listening to this podcast? Watch it. But this scene in Gladiator, okay? Before he becomes a badass, he goes through our main character. He's got a major disappointment in his life. Like, he used to be a badass soldier, led men into war. People followed him. He was a badass. At the beginning of the movie, they established that this main character is nothing to be. He's got charisma. Ain't nothing to be fucked with. And then something happens to him. The biggest heartbreak as possible. Everything he believed in, just like life just fucked with him. And it probably brought him to a point where he started to believe that I'm cursed. And he refuses to fight. He refuses to fight. All right. And then let me fast forward to this one here. Okay. Of course, the black brother, the black brother, the magical Negro. I'm not gonna call him magical Negro because I love the movie. But the black guy is like, bro, what the fuck? I don't know, man. I don't know what the fuck possessed this black guy to help him out. You know what? I'm just gonna call him the black guy because His name is, I gotta acknowledge his name. Okay, yeah, not Russell Crowe. Okay, Jima Unsu. Come on, Ponosa. Yeah, honestly, brother Jimon, the only two movies I liked you in was Amistad, is that what it's called? And Gladiator. Yeah, I hated you in Shazam. Jesus Christ. I didn't hate you. Oh, okay, I guess I liked you in Blood Diamond. Yeah, you did play a great character. But, man, give that brother some better movies. Jesus Christ. I didn't hate you in Shazam. I hated Shazam, period. Jibo Unsu. Come on, Ponoso, no.
So speaking of kiddos, though, you just announced that you and your girlfriend, you're having a baby, right? Congrats.
Yes.
Are you?
I know he's with a white girl. Hold on a second.
Gladiator, a character Juba.
Oh my God! Okay, I'm going over. I'm trying to figure out. I'm gonna pronounce it in French because it's just easier, right? Jimo Unsu. There we go. Je sais pas comment prononcer en anglais, but suck my dick. Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. So this is the scene between Jimo Unsu, Russell Crowe.
And Jimon Sue's the, you know, he's pretty much giving him the, there's plenty of fish in the sea speech. All right, so here we go. Okay, you guys can't see this. So Russell Crowe's character is like using a rock to peel off a tattoo. And I guess it's a tattoo of something about Rome. Basically, a something he believed in. He's trying to rip that shit off.
Spaniard.
Oh, Spaniard. He calls him Spaniard.
Why don't you fight?
Fuck, I love that line.
Why don't you fight?
Pause. Okay, look, I gotta admit, man, this fucking movie makes me emotional, man. All right? I still remember, I saw this in theaters. I'm that old. Shout out to the homies who talked me into going to see this movie in theaters. But here we go.
We all have to fight.
We all have to fight.
Is that the sign of your gods? Will that not anger them?
Won't that anger them? I love that. I forget what makes Russell Crowe's characters snap out of it and get his mojo back. But all I know is I will be watching the movie sometime this weekend. But I do know that I had a moment in therapy where I felt like my therapist was, you gotta fight, bro. I know he's a bully. I know you gotta, but you can't let that motherfucker punk you. Like, basically, she didn't use these words. Okay, I did say, like, I felt like she was preaching. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, like sending me into battle. And why can't you give me that speech when I was trying to kill crackers? Anyway, but that's another side. But it was more like, you know what it was? It was the equivalent of,
we are at war.
Oh my God, man. It was like, since I just got into a state where I found myself realizing that I don't know what this demon is. I don't know what the fuck is in my head, whatever, right? I just know. Fuck religion, fuck whatever, I don't fuck whatever. The only thing that I know, the only thing that I know that's true in life, I gotta fight that motherfucker. Initially, I was tempted to not reach that conclusion because initially I kind of wanted to only attract to this podcast people could relate to that demon. Like, people just want to give, people who find comfort and hopelessness. Because I get it. Because I don't want to be that asshole who's like giving you everything's going to be all right speech. I don't want to be that fucking, because I know what it's like to not, that's okay, that's not true. I got to be careful. No, I don't know what it's like, but I was close to being one of those people who flat out refused to believe that shit ain't going to be all right. Now, I don't know. I haven't seen the true horror of depression. I just know I was very close to it. I don't know what it's like to be suicidal. But I was like, I feel like I was close to that sun. When I had that moment where I just allowed that voice to just fuck it. You know what? You're right. I am cursed. I ain't shit. And just give in. Now, the last note, there are two versions of old me. I called myself, right? Two versions of old me. I wrote this down. I said, I'm not sure if I'm going to leave this in the show notes. In the show notes for Final Thought, I might just say the Gladiator clip. I might leave it at that. But what I actually wrote was, why is this the last episode dealing with feeling with being cursed? The Gladiator clip, Maximus refuses, okay? My last therapy session. And the last point I put is two versions of old me. Initially, because I was just writing quick, I put down there's two versions of old me. Basically, I don't want to be. One version of old me is the one who fought, I believe fought, but lost. And the other version of old me is the one who just doesn't want to fight anymore. Kind of like Jon Snow. I'm tired of fighting. I can't do his accent. But I put in brackets, not sure what I mean by that. Okay. What I'm saying, what I'm getting at is I've done my therapy sessions. I've gotten this far in life, whatever. I remember what that dark, I remember who I was before the day I went into therapy. And yeah, no, I was at a low. I was at a low. I don't know who could hear this podcast. Like, shout out to my cousin, Moon. She's like a religious person, but she has no idea that all the preaching in the world, all the Bible verses in the world, all the jokes she could have made was inferior. Like, she don't get it. It's like, a lot of these Christians just don't understand. When you got that bully in your mind telling you you're cursed, all that shit doesn't help. You're the one who's got to pick up that fight. It's basically, I could be surrounded by 100 hot shit. I can have fans of a podcast. Love it. I could be in the greatest relationship in the world. I could be surrounded by the most lovingest woman in the world, lovingest fan, best friends in the world, the greatest job. I could have, I don't know, man. I'm trying to imagine, like, not the perfect life, but have it all. But that voice, nah, you're cursed. Even as you're driving around that billion-dollar car, you ain't shit. So I'm drowning it out with drugs or what. Like, that voice is the reason why I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fuck this up, ain't I? It's the reason why I'm scared of success. Because I'm like, oh, man, we going to figure out how to fuck this. I kind of like that line by Jay-Z where he says, granted, I'm not saying, I love that line when he says that I'll fuck up a good thing if you let me. I'm just saying that voice, that feeling of being cursed would be the reason why you give me a good thing, I'll fuck it up. It's my marching order. I'll fuck it up simply because I'm convinced that I don't deserve anything good about this life. So where I was going with this, two versions of old me. So the one who fought, I guess I'm saying the one who, I guess when I had more faith in shit, I guess, whatever, but felt like that faith just accumulated it to nothing. Like, I had all this faith, but it had nothing to show for, or that was the belief, right? And then holy fuck, I realize what I'm trying to say. The point to what I'm trying to say about old me is, one of my greatest fear is regressing back to the old version of me. The one who got played like a punk. I don't want to be that version anymore. If I stop going to church, it's because this is me saying I don't want to be old version of me anymore. There's certain people I stop interacting with, it's because I haven't figured out how to be this version of Be Black that I want to be and continue this relationship. It's nothing personal. I hope the best for you, but I want the best for myself. And at the moment, I can't figure out how to be the better version of myself and be with. So my fear is to be old me, is to be old me, because old me will lead me back to not fighting against that bully that's trying to convince me that I'm cursed. Does that make sense? Now, I'm purposely speaking with like a form. There's like a rare conviction in my voice because I know what I'm trying to say. And I know what I'm trying to say won't be understood by a lot of people. But those who get it, you're the people I want to have a conversation with. Those who get, because look, I guess I kind of wanted to still be the guy who, fuck it, I'm not fighting this bully that keeps telling me that I'm cursed. I don't want to. Why? Because I'm authentic that way. That's the only way I can keep it real. Also, I kind of want to reach out to people who were in that situation, you know, who understand what it's like to have this fucking overbearing demon
on your shoulder, constantly reminding you, you ain't shit. Did I mention? Oh my God, when I was talking about altar call, I don't know if I brought this up, man. Church didn't help. Didn't help. Constantly reminding you that, yeah, man. So Adam, white Adam, this white boy named Adam, bit some fucking apple because he let, you know, because, you know, that's what he gets for trusting these hoes and these snakes in these hoes. And as a result, God thinks you ain't shit. The fuck you doing having a higher self? Like, it always bothered me while my atheist friends would have, like, a healthier self-esteem than I did. Because I grew up in a church where Christian believed, like, the lowest you felt, the more you were honoring God. It was some bullshit. Okay, what I'm trying to get at is church wasn't doing anything to fight that demon inside of me that kept saying, you ain't shit. Anyways, all this to say that I get it now. I think life is just about you're alive. There was a time I wanted to make a speech called Teach Your Kids How to Fight. Because I grew up with the idea that fighting is bad and all that shit and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, nah, man, there's times you gotta fight. Like a bully, like that bully demon in your mind constantly telling you, trying to convince you that you ain't shit. Hey, man, try this crack cocaine. You know, life would be better if you had an addiction. Anyways, yeah, like I said, man, if you understand, if you holler if you hear me, bottom line, holler if you hear me. Yeah, holler if you hear me. If you understand what the fuck I'm saying through this microphone, holler at me. I'm not trying to cure you or whatever, but I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, man, I know what you're talking about. My demon looks like this. My demon wears a short skirt, you know what I mean? My demon's white. My demon's homophobic. But that's another story. Oh, did I mention Happy Pride Month, by the way? Yeah, before I forget. I meant to start that in the intro. But okay, all right. I ran out of things to say. If you can relate to what I'm trying to talk about, what the fuck I'm talking about, holler at your boy. The rest of you, shut the fuck up. Shut your mouth, cave bitch. All right. With that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me. You can DM me on did I tell you? Oh, by the way, I finished binging that Flipping the Bird podcast. I recommend it. If you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, you should go on the previous episode, episode 84. What did I call it again? Children of a Lesser God. This episode is going to be called, is 85, Cursed by Every Spirit. Next episode is going to have something about get up, get out of, or get something. My point is, I'm getting out of this, unless something fucked up happens to me, and then I'm back to worshiping that demon that tells me that I'm cursed. But who knows, whatever. A lot can happen between now and then. But with that said, holler at me on, you can DM me on, right. I was explaining that you can DM me on Twitter until Elon Musk fucks it up using B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Or find me on TikTok. Username is B.Black. But if you really want to keep it old school and give me all the credit, just go to my website. Just go to the website of the podcast. It's called shutuppodcast.com. Do I need to remind you? Shutuppodcast.com. shutuppodcast.com. I got to find a way to make it shutuppodcast. Oh my God, whatever. I'm going to fix a rhyme for it, right? Shutuppodcast.com. Hey, B-Black, I tried to Google you, but I can't find you. Yeah, I'm working on it. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed. That's on the website at shutuppodcast.com, or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Yo, seriously, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now.